Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone awake?
Yes, sir.
It's too hot to sleep, isn't it? What's going to happen when summer gets here? I'm moving to Alaska. See you in October. A couple of hands went up back there. Ready to go to Alaska. Well, welcome to church today. I'm Pastor David Branson. If you're visiting with us today, welcome to Lakeside United Methodist Church. Glad you're with us today and worshiping in the house of the Lord. It is Pentecost today. I got a little safety measure here in case anyone catches fire. I'm not going to put you out, but if you catch the pew or the carpet on fire, that's where I'm going to aim the fire extinguisher. So if anyone catches fire today, rest assured I will be on the job. So thank you. And we are remembering Memorial Day this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Not to be confused with Veterans Day. Veterans Day, we honor those that are serving our country. Memorial Day is honoring those that have given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, for our ability to come and go as we please as Americans. Isn't that a good thing? So we're remembering today Memorial Day for those who have given their lives in service to our country. So just a couple of quick announcements this morning. We have made arrangements, and this is way out in advance, but I want to give you a heads up, and I didn't talk this over with the council or anything yet, but we've been approved this week to have another Stop Hunger Now event. Remember that? How many of you participated in that a year or so ago? That was an awesome time for our church and fellowship. But we were approved this week for October 17th, and I'm just throwing it out there so you'll say, you can't say, well, I didn't know we were going to do that, so we're going to have a Stop Hunger Now packaging event. What that is, and there's more information will be coming. I'm just going to give you a heads up. We will be receiving some special offerings for that as well. We have to pay for the event, so that's how we're going to cover the cost of that as well. So if you're interested in that, you'll be getting more information as well about that in the future. So just keep your eyes and ears open for that. Who likes to eat chili? And we're having chili in June, and it's already 90 degrees, so I don't know. We'll turn the AC down, and we will enjoy some chili in June. But the Saturday before Father's Day, I personally, because I'm a bragger, and I always brag on things that I think I can do okay, I can make it sound a lot better, but I brag on what a great chili cooker I am. So I've been challenged to a chili cook-off. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex back there if you think you make pretty good chili. Give me a run for my money. I challenge you to do that as well. You can come and enjoy all the chili you want, but that'll be on June 20th. That's the day before Father's Day, so hopefully you'll come out and join us for that as well. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship. It's time we get busy for the Lord and start our service for worshiping our Lord and Savior.
We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives. wind and flame ignited fire in our hearts on this day of Pentecost. And fill us with your courage and power. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your people around the world, and that your young people may have visions and your elders may have dreams. Flow into our lives and renew us as a people of faith, that we might spread the good news of your saving love through Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
But today the first song is Great and Mighty, and that was taken from Psalm 24:8. It says, "Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty." That's pretty cool. So please join me in the praise songs today. You ever seen anyone with their hair on fire?
That's scary when their hair's on fire. Well, today on Pentecost, what we're doing is we're remembering when the flame came. What did the flame represent? Why do we light the candles? You all light the candles. Why do we light that? What do those candles represent to us? Trick question here. What are we talking about, Pentecost and fire? Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit, right? That fire on the candles represents the Holy Spirit here with us. So, now it's starting to make sense. The Holy Spirit is in that little flame that came above their heads. When we light candles in the church, we're remembering the Holy Spirit. If you look on an altar, most of the time in a church, you'll find a cross, a Bible, and candles. You know what they represent? You should remember this in confirmation, but do you? What does that represent? The Bible represents what? God, the Word of God, right? What does the cross represent? Jesus. What does the fire mean? The Holy Spirit. Woo! Give him a hand. So today we're remembering the Holy Spirit in the presence of a flame above the head of the disciples and all those who gathered that day. So that's what I want you to remember. When we come to church and we get on fire, don't let the church put you fire. Don't let the world put you fire. It doesn't mean go around with a lighter and try to light people's clothes on fire. It means the fire of the Holy Spirit is within your heart. That makes sense? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful young people here today, Lord, and the Spirit that you've placed within them. Let the Holy Spirit fire burn bright within each one of them. Thank you, Jesus, for their enthusiasm and for their willingness to seek out God in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys want to go to Sunday school? You want to go to Sunday school? It's simple to have in church is a fire extinguisher, right? It's not about putting your fire out. Just in case you catch the carpet or the fuse on fire, then we can take care of that at the same time. It's the time of our service when we go to the Lord in prayer. I know we've had some need this week. We continue to pray for our loved ones and our church family. And these folks have been lifted up here in church today. I continue to pray for Richard Fearman. He had a little accident at home and at his place of residence this week. The TV, his neighbor in the bed next to him pulled the TV over on top of him, and they were injured somewhat. So just continue to pray for Richard as well. Mary Ann Davis, we continue to pray for her continued healing. Eugene Nussbaum as well, that he's at home and getting stronger and better each day. No, he's not. Is he in the hospital?
He was. He went from the hospital to not back at the signature. He's being signature. Went to signature yesterday. We don't know how long he'll be there.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I haven't heard that yet. So there is a setback for Eugene. So we can amp up our prayers for him as well. Continue to pray for Violet Simmons as she continues with her chemotherapy. Diane Jordan, a friend of Nancy and ours, is undergoing cancer treatment as well. Ken Friend continues to suffer with his health concerns as well. Barbara Russell has a friend, John, who will be having back surgery on Friday at Jackson Memorial with Tim up. Chuck Blankenship for neck pain. He's having an MRI on Wednesday, so we'll lift up Chuck this week as he goes in for treatment. Darren lifting up his friend Lori's mother who's in hospice care. And we simply lift up our service in serving our country, men and women, serving our country around the world. So just remembering them today on this Memorial Day as well. Well, there's many on your heart this morning. It's time for us to go before the Lord. Be sure and bring them to the foot of the cross this morning. So would you bow your heads and pray with me? Gracious and loving God, you can see we have among us people in great need. Father, there's so much cancer and
and problems and just issues and things that come with older age. Father, we just pray today that the Holy Spirit, as we remember Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit came and resided within the disciples. Father, today we pray your Holy Spirit presence, your healing touch, the presence of God in each one of these situations. Father, we pray for healing today in ways that we may not know what the answer is. How can these folks be healed? Father, we know by putting them in your hands that you are watching over them, that you are residing with them wherever they may lie today. Father God, we come together today lifting up our community. We come together on this Memorial Day, Lord, in observance in the United States that recognizes the ultimate sacrifice of our veterans and those that serve us in our community. Father, we are grateful to pray and to lift up these treasured people in our society that were willing to go and give of themselves freely, much the way Jesus Christ gave himself for us. Father, we pray today that their families would be comforted and that they would know the peace of Christ within their hearts. Father God, today we lift up our country. Father, I lift up our leaders to you this morning. Those making decisions on our behalf that will affect our future for generations. Father, I pray that your divine guidance would overcome these people that serve. Father, that they would see the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our world. As hurting and mixed up and crazy as it is, Lord, we pray for you to come and be a part of the turmoil and unrest we see around the world. Father, thank you for this gift. This gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, I do not make light of the power of the Holy Spirit that comes and resides within each one of us. Today, on this day of Pentecost, is a day we shall never forget. A day that we will remember that the Holy Spirit resides within each one of us, and that we are to use it for good. So, Father, be with us today in our service. Be with each one of us that comes with sorrow or grief or worry on our hearts today. Let us feel your Holy Spirit in a new and powerful way. Father, we pray these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
that. That's beautiful. I will call upon the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, today is Pentecost. We're going to look into a little bit of what that means in the life of the church and why we've come to celebrate this day in the life of the church. Our scripture today comes from Acts 2. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Going through, Peter addresses the crowd. Hear these words this morning from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. Please stand, if you're able, for the reading of His Word this morning. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up and the 11 raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. And the Lord have blessed us for the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this inspiring word this morning. Father, within each one of us lives this fire to burn and to share with others. Father, be with us now in this time and in this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. On this day of Pentecost, does it seem that God was showing off a little bit? We ask ourselves, why did God have to do this? How would it have been to be in that church service on that day? Even the people outside heard the commotion inside and they came running and gathered. And what they heard was the Spirit speaking through these Galileans. Speaking through lakesiders. Speaking through not only the people of that early church, but of the people of the church today. Quite a scene, I'm sure. The wind blowing and howling into the room. This little fire coming and alighting upon their heads. These verses tell us that those gathered around Jerusalem, people from all known countries under the heavens, that's a lot of folks. People were represented from all over the world on that day. And they came and they heard the disciples speak in tongues that they had never heard before, that those that gathered could understand. How many have been confused by the Word of God?
ashamed to raise your hand. I have. Sometimes it's confusing. You hear me say it all the time. The message is simple. It's about our sinful nature. It's about us asking for forgiveness. It's about loving one another. It's about loving God before all else. Place no God before our God. That's what it's about. So the wind comes, the fire comes, looks pretty wild, I'm sure. Why did God want to do it in this way? You ever think about that? Was God just showing off? Or was God getting their attention? You've got to admit God had used many, many different tactics to reach the people, hasn't he? They seem to always forget. Inside a closed room, the rushing of wind, the presence of fire in the air. You think that got their attention? What's going on here? What is happening? This was prophesied 800 years before by the prophet Joel. Did you catch that part there towards the end? 800 years before this day, Joel said, this is what's going to happen. This is one of those times I say, how did God figure all these little details out? How does he do that? How does he know what's going to happen 800 years later? Peter declared it, verse 16. This was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's the guy that let us know ahead of times. This was the attention getter. God said, I need something to get their attention. Because once they got their attention, what happens? Those things go away. Peter stands to preach. Peter gets up before the group. There's no wind, there's no flame, there's no speaking in tongues. It's just Peter preaching to them. But the power of that sermon accomplished more than all the fancy effects in the room that day. He preached a powerful message. There was four components to this message. God sent Jesus to mankind. That's the first component of this message. Jesus came. God sent him. Miracles, wonders, and signs. The second thing, a part of this, he was speaking to the same people that put Jesus to death. Do you realize that? Some of these same folks were yelling, crucify him. You put him to death. You nailed him to the cross. Jesus was sent to them and they crucified him. That was in God's plan. The third point of this, the third major component of this story is preaching. He didn't stay dead, did he? Peter speaks of the resurrection. He speaks of new life in Christ. And the fourth thing he talks about is Jesus being seated at the right hand of God and reigning forever in God's kingdom. That was the message that day. Have you heard that before? 2,000 plus years later, we're still talking about it. We're still acknowledging the fact that Jesus came and died for each one of us. Throughout this sermon, Peter was quoting the Old Testament to prove his points many, many times over. He could give examples. There was a lot of prophecies, over 300 in the Old Testament. I wonder how long that sermon lasted. Too long or just right? It's pretty wild preaching, I'm sure.
But it wasn't just about theology. It was declaring that God had done something different. And through all his efforts to reach his people, he finally said, "Son, go down there and straighten these folks out." You think God ever has those kind of conversations with his son? I don't know. But the message that day was powerful. It turned the world upside down. Paul and Silas, they preached this in Thessalonica. Many people complained that they have turned the world upside down, and you have come here to do it as well. This message turns the world upside down. Our world today seems a little bit upside down, doesn't it? This message must not be being preached enough today to turn the world right side up. There must be something missing in the world today. This message convinced the world that the wrong side was right. You know, this message doesn't sit well with folks. It doesn't sit well with folks today. You tell people they're sinners and they're going to hell, that doesn't sit well with people sometimes. A lot of our so-called religions today say we're all gods. We're all good. There's nothing bad. God's already said everything is going to be good. We're all good, no matter how we live. That's the wrong message. People get angry. They kind of angry. The Sanhedrin, they were mad. They told Peter and James, "Quit talking about this man. He's dead. Why are you making us guilty with this man's blood on our hands?" "Because you've done it." The message that the gospel sends us is this: you and I are sinners. We deserve to go to hell, but Jesus died in our place. He died because of our sins. Our sins put him on the cross. Now, people today like to say, "No, ours didn't. Those Jews around Jerusalem at that time, they're the ones that did it. We're clean today." Do you feel clean sitting here today? I don't feel all that clean. I'm not perfect by no means. I mess up. I've knowingly done wrong. Thinking that I can make this better later. There are consequences. Ran across a neat story this week. An evangelist, Peter Cartwright. One day the President of the United States, Andrew Jackson, came to church and the elders warned the preacher not to offend the President. He's the President. Take it easy. Back then, the influence over the churches brought great wealth and prosperity to churches, especially if the President shows up at your church. Cartwright got up to speak. The first words out of his mouth were this: "I understand that President Jackson is with us today, and it's been requested that I guard my remarks. Let me say this. Andrew Jackson, you're going to hell if you don't repent of your sins." I wonder what the elders in that church thought that day. "Mr. President, you're going to hell if you don't repent of your sin." The entire congregation did as you did.
Are we afraid to speak the truth today because we might offend someone? I think our world runs rampant with that today. We don't go out of our way to offend people. So let's just be nice. We don't speak the truth of God to offend people, do we? We speak the truth of God for hope in the world. For the peace that we all pray for, we wonder how we're going to get there. I jokingly say, when all else fails, pray. Once you've given it your all, you've done all you can, ask God for some guidance. Because on your own, you're a failure. On your own, you're not going to get it done. Pentecost, what does that mean? What day was it that Peter preached this service? It was Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. 50th. Pentecost falls on the 50th day after Passover. This is the last Pentecost mentioned in Scripture. You ever realize that? This is the last time it's mentioned. When was the first time we hear of Pentecost? When was the first Passover? It was in Egypt before the Jews fled from slavery. So if Israel was leaving Egypt the day after they celebrated the first Passover, where do you think they were 50 days later? At the mountain of God, where Moses went up and received the Ten Commandments. When he came down, he discovered that Israel had made a golden calf to worship and other behaviors that were very offensive to God. The first Pentecost was during the time Moses received the Ten Commandments. God was mad. Moses was mad. Moses was so mad he threw the Ten Commandments down and busted the tablets. He ground up the golden calf, remember this, and he put it in the drinking water and said, "Now drink it." You think everyone was happy with those commands? I'm sure some of them said, "Go take a hike, Moses. We're not doing that. We're not doing that." Moses says, "Whoever's for the Lord, come to me." And all the tribe of Levi comes to him. Moses tells them, "Strap on your swords, boys. We're going to clean house." And those who refused to repent were what? They were killed. How many people died on that first Pentecost? Do you remember? How many did Moses and the Levites kill that day? 3,000. 3,000 other people were slaughtered that day because they would not repent. How many were saved at that last Pentecost? 3,000. Is that a coincidence? How does God do that? 3,000 were killed at the first Pentecost, the last Pentecost. 3,000 were saved. The intricacy of God's Word is amazing. The way God goes into every little detail. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, "The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life." The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's just what they just said. Moses and the law killed 3,000. The Spirit, that day at Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. It gives life. There's more. There was an invitation. We're going to have an invitation here in a minute. The Holy Communion. The invitation to communion. Some of you asked today,
say, well, it's not the end of the month.
Well, I know that. I can read the calendar. There's a reason why we have communion today.
Remembering Pentecost, remembering what Jesus has done for us. How do we remember what Jesus has done? Let's go have dinner with him. We're Baptists. At one moment, those folks were saying, crucify him, crucify him. When Peter preached, he gave an invitation. He gave an invitation to the people to come. Allow the Holy Spirit to live within you. Allow Jesus to be your friend. You know, that's quite remarkable. Good Friday, Jesus is the toast of the town. They crucify him. And 50 days later, there's an invitation. 3,000 folks that day. Wouldn't it be nice if in every church where this message is presented, each time we presented it, 3,000 people came forward and gave their life to Christ? Gosh, our numbers would certainly grow, wouldn't they? Methodist Church, that's called Professions of Faith. If you didn't know, your churches in the Methodist denomination grade themselves on Professions of Faith. Huh, how are we doing with that? Not too good, huh? Peter put us to shame that day. But the Holy Spirit is still making that invitation. The Holy Spirit is saying, come. If your head has fire above it, don't let the church be the fire extinguisher that puts it out. If you have the fire of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you're probably sick of hearing me say this. Go down and tell somebody. Until we have 3,000 people on a Sunday come and give themselves to Christ, I'm going to have to keep telling you all that. Because I'm one person. I can't go out here and touch 3,000 people in a week. But you folks certainly can. You're the ministers of this church. You go out with the same message that Peter had. You're like, well, I don't know what to say. Well, read this again, what Peter told people, and go tell them what Peter said. Folks, you don't have to come up with this on your own. I don't have to come up with it on my own. I'm just telling you what somebody has told me through this. A little greater emphasis on baptism, doesn't it? That's all it is. Be baptized and allow yourself to be buried in a watery grave. Allow yourself to experience the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus went to the cross for me. Who else? For you? I'm not so proud to say that I probably would have been one of those who say, crucify him because he's messing up my good thing. On that day of Pentecost, Jesus makes another invitation. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He did that because he loves us. I hope you feel love this morning. I love you as your pastor, but Jesus loves you even more than that. We have an opportunity this morning to once again come and spend this time with Jesus. If you're coming to the altar this morning, I would encourage you to spend some time there. And tell Jesus that, hey, I'm here for you. You were there for me. Tell him that you're there for him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, thank you for that day of Pentecost, the last one spoken of in Scripture. 3,000 people came forward and gave themselves to Christ. This morning I pray that we can be like those, that we can come forward to God's table and rededicate our lives to the Holy Spirit and the work that Jesus seeks to do within each one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Join in peace. Merciful God, we confess that
we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your will. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard your cry by the sheep. Give us, we pray. Lead us to joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I am glorified and forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In the beginning, your Spirit moved over the face of the waters. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. Your Spirit came upon prophets and teachers, anointing them to speak your word. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. At his baptism in the Jordan, your sweet Spirit descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son. With your Spirit upon him, he turned away the temptation of sin. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He gave thanks to his Father in heaven and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you." After the meal, he took the cup and he raised it to his Father in heaven and he said, "Father, bless this, for this is my blood poured out for the new covenant. Each time you take this, remember me for the forgiveness." forgiveness of sins. On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with God and with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, those assisting with communion today, please come forward. This gift of wind and fire reside within each one of us. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who we put on the cross. And Father, thank you for loving us enough to send him here for us. Thank you, Jesus, for all you have done and all you continue to do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, Pentecostal Fire is Falling. All right.
On Thursday, Linda said that he wanted the Lutherans and the Presbyterians to hear us singing.
Are you
today? As we're leaving. So please join us, and this will be a good song.
Up.
benediction. As we leave this place, Holy Spirit, fill us with your countenance. Father, let us be the fire that could spark someone else in a relationship with you. Father, we ask that we could be that for you. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name on this day of Pentecost. Amen.